You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I thank you for joining us today. I also thank our sponsors, Adam H. Board of Franklin County, for helping to make this series on improving Indigenous mental health possible. Thank you to this network and everyone that listens, and to our guest today, a big thank you. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Aquina Tompelg, Bijaki Nibot, Nazaswis, Bijaki and Dorem, a synagogue in which you may day with Madawak Ninu. Hello, my friends. My name is Standing Buffalo. I'm of the Buffalo Clan, and I'm a Madawak Madawak man from Shinnecock. My given name is Shane Weeks, but Bijaki Niboit is who I am. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you so much for introducing yourself in such a good way. I get to congratulate you today. You have some good news. Will you tell us about it?
Yes, thank you. I've just recently published my book, Good Neighbors, A Shinnecock History from a Shinnecock Perspective. And I'm very happy to say that it is now available in both soft cover and PDF version through blurb.com.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. It is a wonderful feeling when a book comes out because there's so much work behind it. So congratulations to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, this is very exciting news, and I'm so happy that you're going to share with us about this book. And I guess the first question I have is, what does the title mean?
Well, the title comes from an old Shinnecock phrase, good neighbors, that I heard as I was a kid growing up. And what our elders meant by that was that we had to be good neighbors to our non-Indigenous neighbors so that our way of life would not be continued to be destroyed, so that we would not be oppressed any further. And that if we were good neighbors and kind of didn't, you know, be ourselves as Indigenous people of this part of the world, that we would be allowed to live. And so it comes from that phrase that I always heard. And I wanted to use that to kind of say, you know, today is a different time. It's now a time where we can be freely who we are as Indigenous people of this part of the world. And I always say, you know, I am first generation Shinnecock of being born into a world where I can be that freely. You know, my parents were not born into that world. It happened in their lifetime, you know, but they were not born into that world. And so that is where that title comes from.
I really appreciate you sharing that with us. I think it's important, so important. I think a lot of folks don't even realize that our ceremonies and our songs and dances, many of them were illegal until the 1970s.
Exactly.
And so a lot of our culture had a huge penalty if you practiced it. And so I'm really interested in your definition of yourself as first generation free Shinnecock. So in your life, being first generation to just live in the abundance of your identity, completely and totally. How is
Absolutely.
That different than the generations before?
I think it's a little different because we can express who we are freely. We can, talk amongst each other without hesitation to sharing our knowledge. As the generations before us, they were very hesitant to pass on our traditional knowledge for fear that what happened to them would happen to the generations after them. And so a lot of them were very reluctant to share our history, our language, our teachings. And, today it's a little different where we can share them freely, openly with each other and with the rest of the world. And I think that's a major, concept for us as Indigenous people to be able to share with each other and be who we are freely in this world today.
Wow, I am really moved by that, and I'm so grateful for all the elders who, whether in secret or out in the open or just at family gatherings, were brave and courageous enough to keep the traditions and language for our tribes in spite of all the opposition and Absolutely. Colonialism and demonization that they faced.
Absolutely. And so I wrote this book with this fact in mind. As I was doing the research of who I was as a Shinnecock person and who our community is as Shinnecock people, I realized that our history was not often told through our own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Our history was taught through somebody, a third person who was writing down what they thought they were seeing, their interpretation of it. And it was never really our own people talking about what it is that we are doing, what we represent, what we stand for. And so I wanted to write a book through our eyes, through my eyes as a Shinnecock person. With that in mind, that maybe somewhere down the line in the future, some of my ancestors, the generations before us, will need a reference, some sort of standing, a foundation to look back to. So as I was writing this book, I always kept that in mind. What was it that I wish I could have found in my research? What was it that I wish I could have saw in my research? So that's how I chose the pictures and chose the wording to put in this book. And I wrote it in a way that is, it just gives you leads, something, a little thread to follow, and there are much deeper conversations that can be had through many of the topics in my book, but in our traditional way, it said, we only give a little bit, we don't give everything. We only give a little bit, just enough for someone to be curious, to want to learn more.
What did you learn? What did you find? That was sort of a moment where you're like, oh, that's what I was looking for.
Well, a lot of what I found is that our traditional way of life was not completely destroyed.
Mm.
We say it was forgotten, but it was not lost. It was not gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, in my research, that was a major, major thing for me, was that our way of life was saved. And it was through a prophecy that happened maybe 1,500 years ago, and it was saved by other tribes throughout the Northeast.
Mm.
And as you heard in my introduction, I'm a Madewin man from Shinnecock. And Madewin means the good-hearted way, and that is our traditional way of life here on the east end of Long Island.
Mm.
But that was forgotten for so many years, generations. But through my research, that was probably the most substantial thing that I found, is that our way of life exists, the teachings exist, they're very full, very whole, and very extensive, And so trying to bring that back to our people is something that I've dedicated a lot of my time to, as well as many others here on the east end of Long Island, and Long Island in general.
There's so much beautiful in what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested to find out, what does your way of life look like now? I think that so often Hollywood puts everybody back in the 1800s, right? But we're here now, alive, vibrant, existing. So what does that wonderful, good-hearted way of life look like in the 21st century?
You know, it's, you know, we do live like the rest of the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we drive cars, we live in houses that are heated with electricity for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is that we remember our connection to creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we remember our connection to spirit. And we live that and we think about that every day in every move that we make. You know, that everything around us has a spirit. You know, everything. The trees, the water, you know, the rocks, every animal. Everything has a spirit and is connected to us. And if something happens to those things, those parts of creation, it will affect us,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether we realize it or not. And so understanding, acknowledging that connection with each other, with the energy that we put out into the world, and with the energy that we seek to receive from the world, is a huge part of what our way of life looks like today. You know, understanding that connectionship, that relationship with all of creation.
Wow, that's magnificent and so important, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful for this book and for what it means for your people and the beautiful ways that you have, but I'm always thinking towards the future, you know? How do you plan or do you hope to see this good-hearted way preserved for future generations?
That's a good question. You know, the most substantial way that I can think is to just keep it going, you know, to just live it every day in myself, and keep an open door for anybody who may want to learn or know more or want to walk this way of life as well. You know, just keep that going. Keep that option available for our people, because, you know, even if it's just one person that we take and show this way, you know, that's more than it was before that, you know. So for us, you know, just to keep it going, just to make it available, is huge, is a very huge step for our way of life going forward. You know, mm-hmm. it's something that was very hard for me to find, you know,
mm-hmm.
that step, that option, you know. So to make it as easily available as possible, I think is how I see that going forward.
And what will this life, this way of life, what does it do? What will it do for someone who decides to reconnect and walk in it?
You know, a lot of our people, not just our people, people all over the world,
yeah.
are traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go through generational trauma, whether we realize it or not,
mm-hmm.
whether we know we're looking for healing or not, you know, and that healing is what this life offers, you know, that healing of each other, that healing of self is something that is focused in this way of life. You know, that's what this way of life orbits around, is that healing and that balance. That is the law of this realm, of this world, you know. And so that's something that I found, and that's something that I know many other people who do walk this way of life have found as well.
When you look at this way of life, I wonder if there are any particular principles or teachings that aren't sacred or private or only for tribal members that you might be able to share with our friends. We have friends that listen from all over the world, Israel, Nigeria, Ghana, Mexico, and of course the sovereign nations here in Canada and in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if you could share, if there's any part of this good way that you can share with us.
You know, it's said in our teachings that each person, each people, the different cultures, the different
mm-hmm.
ways of life all over the world, we're each given their own way by the Creator,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our way of life is for us to share and to perpetuate and protect into the future. And it's also our job to respect others' ways of life,
yeah.
For them mm-hmm. to perpetuate and to hold into the future. And collectively, you know, we all hold a little piece of the puzzle of creation, of this story of spirit and life, you know. And so our one of our teachings is, in our language, we say, Wame ni tampeo, which means all of my relations. Mm-hmm. And when you're saying that, you're acknowledging your connection to all of creation, you know, not just your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, but that our relationship to all of creation is just as sacred as it would be for your blood relative. And so we have to respect all of creation and all of the walks of life that were given by the Creator to the different people. And so that's probably one of the fundamental teachings of our way of life.
Well, that is gorgeous, and thank you so much for trusting us with that, because it is so, that is medicine, that is healing, and I'm so very grateful. Are there representations of the Shinnecock people in popular culture? You know, we can all think of all the Hollywood movies that feature the Southwest tribes or the Plains tribes, but are there any representations of the Shinnecock in popular culture that you can think of?
Not that are mainstream. Mm-hmm. Not that are mainstream. You know, there was a native from Long Island who was Uncachug in the original book of Moby Dick. Mm. One of those crew members on that boat was actually from Long Island. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, there really are not too many representations of Long Island indigenous people in mainstream pop culture. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I always found that so surprising, because so many of our television dramas are set in New York.
Yeah.
Like literally, you know, in New York. There are people going to Long Island, and there's people in the movies that are in New York and television series that are set in New York. And so because representation matters, it really does matter, I would love to give you a chance to introduce us to your people, since we may not see them, you know, commonly in mainstream popular culture.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, so the Shinnecock Nation, we've been on Long Island since the last ice age created Long Island about 13,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And our traditional territory is the bounds of Southampton, Southampton Town, on the South Fork of Long Island. But our people were part of a larger confederacy, if you will, known as the Mattawak. The Mattawak people were a confederacy that encompassed all of Long Island. And the word Mattawak means place of the heart. Mita-aki, heart place, is what that really translates to. And, you know, we were a first contact tribe, or we are mm-hmm. a first contact tribe, meaning that when the settlers first came over here, we were some of the first people in the New England area, along with the Wampanoags, the Narragansetts, the Pequots. We were all very closely related and very closely knit. Through kinship, mm-hmm. When those colonists first came here. And so our history is very old. The documentation of our people is very old, one of the oldest in the United States area, because of that first contact history. And, you know, over the years and very early on, our people were oppressed and forced into a certain way of life through the colonization. And it was, like you said, you know, it wasn't until the 1970s that we were able to come out of that and be who we are freely through what was called the American Indian Movement, mm-hmm. Which was the Native American version of the Civil Rights Movement in the 1970s, which a lot of Shinnecock people were a part of as well, you know, and marched all mm-hmm. over the country for our rights. So today, you know, through a lot of land loss and land theft, we control about 1,000 acres here in the town of Southampton, about 800 of which is our residential territory. And, you know, we have about 1,800 tribal members, roughly, that live on and off territory. So, you know, it's something that we say, you know, that it's amazing that we are still here, you know, but we are still here. And I think it's important, you know, that we do get this opportunity to speak for ourselves and talk about who we are as a people.
Well, I'm happy that you're willing to do that here, because
thank you.
From you, we are truly learning about your beautiful people and your beautiful ways of living, and there's so much good medicine in that. And I really want to amplify something that you just said about first contact tribes. I come from a southeastern tribe, East Coast, so in the South, and I do think we have to constantly remind people that the East Coast had a very different experience with
Absolutely.
Colonization, and you know, and that explains phenotype, for example. It explains
Absolutely.
Why perhaps we don't have some of the cultural ways, or we have a little more assimilation, or whatever it may be. I think it's very important to have representatives from the East Coast tribes explain these things to us.
Exactly.
And so when you think about your tribe and all that you've endured, there is historical grief and trauma, of course, in all our tribes, but there's also historical blessings. And so what are some of the amazing qualities of your people that you see handed down throughout the generations?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things that I see that is a common trait of Shinnecock people is our pride. You know, that we are very proud to be Shinnecock people, you know, no matter what has happened to us, no matter how much that pride has been tried to strip away from us, that our people are still proud to be Shinnecock, you know, and that's something that's very important, you know, that we didn't want to be something else. We always
right.
said, no, we're Shinnecock, you know, no, you can't make us this, you can't make us that. We are Shinnecock, and that's what it, you know, that's who we are. That's who we will always be. And so I think that's a very important piece of who we are as Shinnecock people. The other thing is that we're very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very closely knit, and that we take care of each other as a community. You know, this when you come to Shinnecock, it's the type of community where everybody waves at each other when you drive by. You know, we all know each other. We all visit with each other. You know, and I think that's very important as well. I think those are the two, maybe the most two substantial traits of Shinnecock people.
I admire your resistance to being erased. And I see here in the modern era, you know, textbooks and information and classes, I'm starting to see signs of erasure of Native people. How are you hoping that your book, which I hope teachers and professors and classes and library will order lots of copies of this book and make it part of your curriculum, make it part of your education and outreach as well. But how do you see your book in the current climate of changing how we tell history and erasing who we tell it about?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest pieces is that it is from our own people. You know, it is from myself, that who is a Shinnecock person, as opposed to, you know, again, a lot of those textbooks that you see in school, they are still teaching many false narratives. You know, they're still teaching. I've had very recently people come to me and say, oh, my textbook said that, you know, all Native Americans are gone, you know, just completely extinct. Or, oh, they just got up and left to make room for the settlers freely, you know, of their own accord, you know. And all of these narratives are still happening today, you know. So on top of that, the textbooks often only depict very specific tribes for whatever reason. You know, maybe they depict the Western tribes because they were at war, you know, and they wanted to make it seem like we were all very violent and always trying to war with the United States, or the Iroquois, who the same thing, you know, they were at war, but they also had a very fundamental part in the Constitution of the United States, or the Wampanoag, you know, who are very close to us. They speak almost the same exact language as us, but because of the Plymouth Rock and the Pilgrims, you know. But a lot of those other tribes' histories get left out, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, a lot of the signatures of the Declaration of Independence spent a lot of time on Long Island with us, you know, and looking at our Confederacy and our way of life, you know, Thomas Jefferson, William Floyd, a lot of those people were right here on Long Island for a substantial amount of time. You know, that's something that is often left out of the narrative of contemporary modern history in those books, in those school books. So I'm hoping that this reference can serve as a foundation, as a resource for people to see who we were as Shinnecock people, and who we are today as Shinnecock people, and our place in history. You know, because we do have a very huge place in history. We were part of many different aspects of American history.
Magnificent. When we come back from commercial break, we're going to talk much more about this book. You're welcome to read to us from it or share with us more about it. We're definitely going to find out how to get it, and we're going to really continue this amazing conversation. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan! Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett, I'm Tia,
and I'm Heather,
and we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here, you got LeBron over here, and guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it, so who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun. 911, what is your emergency? Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service and this station.
We are blessed to celebrate the new release of a fantastic book, and the author is here with us today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Sure. Akwena Tapiog, Bijiki Nibojna Dasuis, Bijiki Ndoda, Asena Kognowache, Medewa Metaoknina. Hello, my friends and family. My name is Standing Buffalo. I'm of the Buffalo Clan, and I'm a Madewin Madawak man from Shinnecock. My given name is Shane Weeks, but Bijiki Niboit is who I am. And thank you again for having me.
Fantastic. We're so happy that you're here. How do we get this great book?
So this book, titled Good Neighbors, A Shinnecock History from a Shinnecock Perspective by Shane Weeks, is available through blurb.com as a PDF version as well as a softcover copy.
And how do we connect with you? Someone may want a guest speaker for a class or a library or a book club. How is
sure.
the best way for us to contact you?
You can contact me via my website, bijiki.com. That's B-I-Z as in zebra, H-I. ki.com, and that you can you purchase the book on my website as well via the first page, as well as use the contact us link to email me for any inquiries or questions that somebody may have.
Beautiful. Okay, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I would like to give you a few minutes to present to us about this book, read to us from this book, share with us your thoughts about this book. I'm just going to hand it over to you for a few minutes and just let you tell us about Good Neighbors.
Sure. Thank you. So Good Neighbors is a history of Shinnecock as seen through my eyes as a Shinnecock person. And I wrote this book because a lot of the history of Shinnecock people was not always written through our eyes as Shinnecock people. And, you know, through my research and through my travels, I often found that it was very hard to find a reference of an account of a Shinnecock person that was completely accurate or completely from their mouth. And, you know, that was something that really I really struggled with, you know, to not find something of that that caliber for my research of who I was as a Shinnecock person. And so as I wrote this, I kept in mind, you know, what would it be that somebody would look for as a Shinnecock person, 7 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, you know, generations from now. And they looked back, you know, and wanted to see what life was like during this time that we're living in today. What was our history thought of through our eyes as we were living it and seeing it today. And so I always kept that in mind while I was writing this book. I started this book when I was 27 years old in 2017. And I had done so much research, and, you know, there were times I was, you know, just sitting there reading old records from Southampton Town or other records, books from back in the 16, 1700s, you know, for hours until like the 3 o'clock in the morning. And for years, I was doing this when I had time. And I realized that, you know, none of this information was really compiled. And there were really no references or resources of Shinnecock people's own accounts. And so, you know, I was like, I really have to put this down. I really have to put this down on paper. You know, and that hoping that in the future, even after I'm gone, that this book would serve like that. And so I sat down for like 3 weeks straight, like 18 hours a day, nonstop, just typing it all as much as I could every day. And you know, that's when I wrote the better part of this book. Then after that, I started adding pictures, and I was going through my pictures and thinking, like, you know, there are really no books that have pictures from the 1700s, you know, and that are a historical record account of Shinnecock people. So, like, you know, I'm going to add pictures of our bounty. I'm going to add pictures of our land. I'm going to add pictures of our people, you know, what this land provides today, as well as some historic pictures from my family as well. Mm. And, you know, after that, I kind of put it down for a few years. And I just let it sit for a little while. And just recently, I was like, you know, it's time. It's time to get that book finished and get it published. And so I revisited the book. I added a few things that have been that have occurred since 2017, but not many. I really wanted it to be about what I knew and what I felt was important during that era of my life. You know, that's what I wanted this book to be, and that maybe in the future, what has happened and what I've accumulated in 2017 till the, you know, whenever in the future, I will write a second edition to this book that will talk about a little bit further knowledge. And I think that's also important too, in a traditional sense, because in our traditional ways, you know, we always say that when we're giving a teaching, we don't give everything. You know, we don't give everything all at once, that we just give a little bit, just enough for somebody to want to learn more, you know, that just enough for them to want to put in the effort for themselves to know a little bit more about this particular topic or any particular topic. And so that's how I wrote this book. You know, I gave just enough information about different topics to give leads for somebody to say, oh, let me look into that a little more. Oh, wow, that's very interesting, you know. I want to know more about that. And so that was also how I wrote that book, you know, that, you know, I feel like I could have written pages and pages on so many different topics in that book. But I felt, you know, in a traditional way that was just enough. It was just enough to get people's minds thinking about who we are and, you know, where we come from, where I come from. And so, you know, there are things in there that are very personal about my personal life growing up, which I figured would be important, you know, not just for readers today, but for readers after I'm gone, mm-hmm. you know, and what their a firsthand account was from a Shinnecock person. You know, how did he grow up? How did he live? What did he see, you know, on Shinnecock back then? So I felt that that was important to talk about how I grew up, you know, on Shinnecock, and not just, you know, in 1859 this happened, in 1705 this happened, you know. Even though those are also topics in my book, you know, about the land theft of 1859 when the railroad came through, or the Great Awakening when our people were converted, forcefully converted through the in the 1720s through the Great Awakening, or the early days when our people still used traditional names and had a traditional government of sachemship and clan systems, as well as, you know, our hunting and fishing methods, how our resources are kept and established here on Shinnecock. All of those are topics that I felt were important to put in there, you know. So that was the big idea that I had to put in there, was my thoughts, my opinions, facts that I know, and just my outlook on Shinnecock history is something that I'm hoping, not just for people alive today, but for many generations, people want to look back and say, oh, wow, this is a very unique insight of people of that time. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah. That's terrific. Thank you so much for sharing that with us and that insight with us. And so what do you hope will happen to perhaps people who aren't members of your tribe, non-natives, maybe members of other tribes, when they read this book?
Yeah, you know, I find that so often people who are not of Indigenous heritage backgrounds or may not know any Indigenous people at all often have been taught a very false narrative, you know, of who Indigenous people are, and what we've gone through, what we go through today, our realities today. And, but I also find that so many people are willing to listen when they do figure out the truth. They do find access to the truth of our people, of our realities today. And so I hope that, through this book will spark interest, to really understand what is going on today, what our truth is as Indigenous people of this part of the world is today. And has been. And so, you know, I find that we do have a lot of ears open and willing to listen, you know, and that's important for our word to get out. And it helps, it really, really, really helps our cause and our quality of life, because our people have been oppressed and continue to be oppressed for so long. You know, and it's because so many people just have no idea of the realities that it continues, you know. But I found that through awareness, through continued and amplified awareness of our realities, we've been able to accomplish a lot. We've been able to accomplish many feats that have helped our people, whether through the land back movement of giving our land back that was stolen, or through Senate bills, legislative law, you know, that allows us to be who we are, such as the American Indian Movement, you know, made happen back in the 1970s. Through the Native American Grace Protection Act, you know, that says that, you know, protects Native American burial grounds and bodies from being desecrated on federal lands. All those things happen because of amplified awareness. All those things happen because our people and allies stood up and said, you know, this is wrong, this is the truth, and we're going to amplify this, and we're going to stand up for this and change this. You know, so I'm hoping that this book can serve as just a small part of that that fight to be heard that our people go through.
Excellent. And what does it really mean, or how can people help you by being a good ally? You know, we hear that word a lot, and there are a lot of people who want to be allies or consider themselves allies, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And so when you think of that word, ally, what does it mean for someone to be a good ally to your people?
Well, there are many, many different ways. It could be as simple as sharing a message that we're putting out into the world on social media. Mm. You know, it could be something that simple. In certain cases, it could mean writing a letter of support for legislation to be passed with the state or the local municipality, the town, the city, or the local indigenous community. It could be, you know, donations of some sort. It could be financial donations, which is something that has helped us, the Shinnecock people, substantially in this modern era, you know, in terms of protecting our burial grounds. Recently, we just had about 6 acres of land returned to us or preserved that is due to be returned to us. Yeah, known as Sugarloaf Hill in the Shinnecock Hills. And that happened because of donors, private donors that stepped up and, you know, said, you know, this is a good cause, you know, and really amplified our voice. And we were able to preserve the peak of a hill that is the most sacred burial site in our immediate area. To date, you know, and our plan is to demolish the house, which costs a lot of money here in Southampton, in the Hamptons, you know. And so all those private donations helped us to preserve that land and hopefully restore it back to its natural state. You know, so those are some of the ways. Another way is to, you know, reach out to your local indigenous group and ask them to give a presentation, talk about who they are. Bring them to a school district, a library, a museum, you know, an historical society to give a presentation, you know, involve them in the community. You know, that's another way of showing support and allyship, you know. And if it moves you so much to really stand up with them, you know, when they are, you know, at a public hearing, at a town hall, or on the side of the road in a protest to protect a burial site. You know, those are ways, all ways to be good allies that I've found are very effective.
That is so helpful, I think, because we have so many good-hearted people, right, who want to help and don't have an idea how. And so thank you for sharing that perspective with us.
Thank you. Glad to.
What does being a published author, I mean, the subject matter is so important and the research was so thorough, but what does being a published author mean to you now personally?
You know, it's a little surreal, I guess, you know, but I'm very happy to be able to do this. You know, I'm very happy to be able to place this part into our history as Shinnecock people. You know, and I'm very humbled that it's being received so well, because it's something, you know, I feel we all have this huge, you know, there's this huge puzzle that we all have a little piece of, and I'm just very grateful to be able to give my little piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that hopefully it will be there for a long time.
Absolutely. When I was pursuing my MFA, one of the things that we were told was that if you want to be immortal, write a book, create art, or make a movie, or compose music. And so now that you've written a book, someday someone will footnote you. Right. Someday someone may write a biography about you and what you've done. Mm. And what do you want them to say when they reminisce over you?
Just that, you know, the big thing is just that I was a Shinnecock person who was very proud to be Shinnecock, you know, and hopefully that they'll say that I helped my people the best way that I knew how, you know. That's a really a big part of what I hope to be, you know, is just somebody to be able to help my people in our efforts as Indigenous people of this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. What do you want us to know that we may not already know or touch on that we may not have already had a chance to discuss?
I guess, you know, one of the works that I'm involved in, I am co-CEO of what is called the Niyamuk Land Trust here on Shinnecock. And our main priority is to preserve sacred sites of the Shinnecock people. And we are currently in the process of becoming a nonprofit. And, you know, that is one way to help support our people, is to donate to that fund, to our fund, our annual budget. We also have a way to donate tax-deductible funds through the Conic Land Trust, another nonprofit that is not Shinnecock-based, but they have preserved a lot of land here in Southampton and on Long Island. And coincidentally, was founded by one of the Halsey, who was one of the original settlers of mm-hmm. Long Island, you know, way back in the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, coincidentally, you know, we now work together very closely to protect the lands that were taken from us. And so you can visit our website at niamuklandtrust.org. It's N-I-A-M-U-C-K, landtrust.org. And it was founded just recently by members of the Shinnecock Nation Grace Protection Warriors Society, which I am co-chair of as well, which is a cultural society of Shinnecock that has been very heavily involved in preserving and protecting burial sites, as well as handling repatriated remains that were dug up and sold to the museums and institutions around the country, and working on repatriating them and reburying them back to where they came from. So those efforts, both you can see both of those histories on the Niyamuk website, as well as my website, bizhiki.com, bizhiki.com. So those are two of the main issues that we are working on here on Shinnecock right now.
That's fascinating, and I'm really thankful that you're willing to do that work. I hope someone has thanked you for it, but just in case, I'm going to say thank you. Because that dedication is so precious. When you think about books, films, music that perhaps has inspired you along the way, are there any, I know you have your own book out and it's wonderful, but along the way you read other people's books, right? Or you saw movies or heard music. Who are your inspirations?
One of my inspirations was our former chief of our Madewan Lodge, who recently passed away a little over a year ago, Eddie Benton Benet. Mm-hmm. He was one of the founders of the American Indian Movement. Mm-hmm. He is the person that named me as well, and was the chief of our lodge, the Three Fires Madewan Lodge. And he wrote a book called The Meshomas Book, which is a very broad overview of a specific part of our creation story. And so that was one of a huge reference for me and a part of our history that isn't easily accessible. You know, a lot of our traditions, the way I've been able to learn them is by traveling from Long Island all the way out to Wisconsin 4 times a year for ceremonies, you know, and that was kind of the only way to get a lot of our teachings, was to make a 24-hour one-way trip driving to Wisconsin 4 times a year, you know. So that resource is invaluable to me. Also, a lot of the records that are now actually being digitized, but the records of Southampton Town and the records of some of the early settlers, such as David Gardner, you know, they're very hard to read because they show us in such a racist, prejudiced point of view. But nevertheless, there are some very interesting leads in those books that have really put me on a good trail, you know, in terms of finding out who we are as a people. So those are some of the resources that I've read that have really helped me out. But, you know, it really is a lot of our history is oral. You know, a lot of our history is through oral tradition. And the only way to get a lot of these teachings and a lot of these histories is to be present, sitting there in front of somebody in person. You know, so that's a very, very important thing to say, you know, as well. You know, there are a lot of things that will probably never be written in a book. You know, that just is that's just how our way of life is. You know, some certain things just must be protected and must be kept for ourselves.
Right. We're that way as well. And I think it's important to know what can be shared and what can be sacred. And I think that's part of sovereignty.
Absolutely.
Intellectual, spiritual property. And I think that's beautiful. As we close right now, I would like to ask you to do a commercial for your book. Tell us where to get it. Tell us how to get it. Tell us how to connect with you. And make sure we have that information as we go.
Sure. So again, this is Shane Weeks. I'm the author of Good Neighbors, A Shinnecock History from a Shinnecock Perspective. My book is available on blurb.com. That's B-L-U-R-B.com. Through a PDF version as well as a soft cover copy. You can also find it, the link on my personal website, bizhiki.com. And I really thank you for all of your support and your wishes for my book as well as myself and our people. So thank you.
You're as welcome as you can be, and thank you very much for joining us. And thank you to all our friends who join us, to our sponsors and our donors and this great network and the Adam H. Board of Franklin County for making this conversation possible. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I hope someone has said this to you today, but just in case they haven't, the Creator loves you, and we do too. I can't wait till we're all together to visit next time. See you then.
Come and save her, better believe it, get on and easy, pray all, then pray all, and never look back once the war forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.